Life offers us invitations, nudges, and wake-up calls to step into our truest selves and to change the world for the better. Marianne Williamson, spiritual author, writes in Tears to Triumph, "Periods of sadness, even deep sadness, are a normal part of human existence. Our personal suffering is often a sacred invitation into the deeper experience of who we are as people and why we're on earth. Illness and pain changes us. We may have never wanted that experience, but now we have it. Sometimes there is good to gain from our suffering. Sometimes the only good comes from surviving it. The least we can do for ourselves is honor the difficult journeys we have traveled. We cannot avoid pain and illness. Suffering, pain, trauma, they're all a part of living. If you've ever seen the Disney movie Moana, you don't have to have seen it. I'm going to tell you about the part I want you to know about. It's a theologically rich film, though, so you might want to consider it. In that movie, you will see a woman walking through her pain and addressing her deepest fears. Moana has been warned her whole life to stay away from the dangerous ocean. And then the fish and fauna on her island begin to die. There's no food. The way of life looks like it's disappearing. The only thing left to do is to go into the scary ocean and look for answers. In one of her adventures, she meets and confronts the lava monster, Takai. Now, Moana has spent her whole life hearing about how horrible Takai is, and she has been taught to fear whatever pain Takai will inflict on her. As Takai crawls toward Moana, blasting lava and snake-like flames, Moana steadies herself. She observes the monster. She walks with confidence toward the intense beast, singing, "I have crossed the horizon to find you. I know your name. They have stolen the heart from inside you, but this does not define you. This is not who you are. You know who you are." Once Takai realizes she has been seen for who she truly is and given an offering of love, the lava and fire recede. By Moana seeing the totality of Takai, Takai's heart is restored. Love transforms this fearful creature into the beautiful goddess Tafiti, who she was all along. Like Takai, we have all been shaped by our own painful experiences. Now, you may be thinking of your own illness and pain, and you might be thinking there is nothing redeeming about it. And you may be right. But we will never know until we move through it consciously. A hero of mine, Bernice Johnson Reagan, song leader, composer, scholar, and social activist, reminds us, "Life's challenges are not supposed to paralyze you. They're supposed to help you discover who you are. Discovering who you are through pain is a lot easier said than done. Pain is described by many as living a double life, the one we present to the world and the one we know is happening within us. I recently read that even if we have health insurance, a significant illness requires most of us to spend a third of our income on medical bills. Pain compounds if we have an ailment that is difficult to pinpoint or diagnose, if we lose our job, if we experience the loss of a loved one, if we lose our medical insurance. We can easily become consumed with fear and not know how to see our way out of the situation." In her book, Bucket List from Hell, Karen Samuelson shares her own bucket list, which includes being assaulted, enduring painful fertility treatments, miscarriage, debt from medical bills, gaining over 100 pounds from health complications, job loss, betrayals, and more. My bucket list from hell includes some of those same items. Your list may have its own unique items. I'd like you to take a second and kind of consider making a mental bucket list from hell. I know it's not fun, but have you lost a loved one? Have you taken chemotherapy? Have you been a victim of sexual assault? Have you been repeatedly ill? Have you been fired? Are you surviving an invisible disease or disability? Are you aching from Lyme disease or lupus? Have you known the pain of infertility? Does your circle of loved ones include those experiencing neurological diseases, fibromyalgia, depression, chronic fatigue, arthritis, multiple sclerosis, migraines, schizophrenia, or bipolar disorder? Are you a survivor of depression? I was struck this past summer by an online video by Sinead O'Connor. She kept asking the viewers, are you living with a daily battle to control inner demons that depression, trauma, and mental illness create? She sobs in the video, my entire life is revolving around not dying, and that's not living. No doubt you've been able to think of painful experiences in your own life without much effort. The good news, you're still here. Thank you. Congratulations. For some, each day brings pain. Each hour might be a triumph in survival. Sadly, some diseases and tragedies bring out more compassion than others. Often this is because we tend to overestimate the degree to which our own behavior, attitudes, and beliefs are shared by other people. We assume that if we have not experienced it, then it is not true. This phenomenon has been studied, and it's called false consensus effect. I want to share a personal story about an invisible disease I have survived, and I will preface this by saying, I'm fine now. This is not about you feeling sorry for me. It's just an example. I share this as an example of the solitary nature that pain can create for an individual. In July 2013, I was supervising an all-day photo shoot just south of here in Madison. I own a small marketing agency, and that's what my first career was in. And it was a lot of money and a lot of time to bring together all the models and all the photographers and rent the studio time. While I'm standing there directing the shoot, I get my period, or that's what I thought it was at the time. I thought to myself, oh, this means I'm not pregnant again. My wife and I had been trying to have another child for a long time. I kept giving art direction and moral support, and then I'd slip off to the bathroom, determined to get through the shoot. The cramping was horrendous. In our culture, I'm trained as a woman to accept any ache resembling a period as normal, even if it includes stabbing and throbbing pain. I took some Advil, I drank a lot of water, I kept smiling. After the shoot, I doubled over in pain. I'd been accustomed to issues like that for years, and so I assumed it was normal for me. I somehow drove to a drugstore for supplies and then to a mall to buy a clean outfit, and I slowly drove back to Milwaukee, stopping at each rest area to breathe and give myself a timeout. In the weeks that follow, I am ill with fevers, headaches, cramping, vomiting, and I'm told by my doctors it'll pass. No big deal. It's all normal. Late that summer, my family was scheduled for a trip to see friends in Saugatuck, Michigan, just across the lake. The drive was really difficult for me. The pain seemed even worse with every bump in the road, like knives going through my stomach. When we arrived, I was happily distracted by cooking dinner with our friends and enjoying the sights and laughing at silly stories. But after dinner, I started to feel faint, and I went inside, and suddenly I couldn't walk. I'm vomiting, I'm bleeding a lot, I can't speak. Thankfully, my wife Anne came to look for me, and I'm able to tell her we need to go to the emergency room. We left our very young son then with our friends who had no children, if you can kind of get how I was a little bit more worried about that. And we drive about 20 miles to the nearest hospital. I describe my severe pain and symptoms to the staff over and over, and I'm filled with immense fear that whatever is happening to me may affect my ability to get pregnant and have any more children. As I'm the only patient in the ER, I assume I will be cared for quickly. One doctor dispassionately asked me about my symptoms while I cried in pain and continued to hemorrhage and vomit. I begged for treatment or pain relief, but was given neither. In addition to neglecting my acute pain, my wife and I overheard the staff making disparaging comments about how obscene it was for a lesbian couple to have a baby. The next day, a new doctor on duty performed emergency surgery. I learned my organs were all adhered to the back of my body cavity and that I was in stage 4 endometriosis. However, the doctor didn't repair anything but closed me up, gave me pain medication, and told me to go home and see my regular doctor. Now, for those of you who have never heard of endometriosis, it's a disease that affects 1 in 10 women in the United States and over 175 women-identified people worldwide. Uterine-like tissue grows outside of the uterus, coating organs with a sticky tar-like lesions that adhere the organs to one another, and every move causes excruciating pain that cannot be relieved by painkillers. It goes on to impact neurological system, develops into migraines, leg pains, difficulties walking, labored breathing, raised blood pressure, and more. Some people who have these symptoms are told they are not serious or they are psychosomatic. Very few surgeons in the world specialize in endometriosis. Now that's my story. I'm sure you have your own to share. So what can we do? How do we survive pain, let alone find something worthwhile in discovering ourselves through it? Or better yet, can we take advantage of the pain and tragedy and make it our teacher? You're already stuck in it. Here are a few suggestions. Observe the pain. As I waited for one of many surgeries, I learned to go deeper and deeper into meditation. I looked hard at the edges of the pain. I learned to meditate and control my pain even when I wanted to scream. I told one friend, "I'm chewing on glass every day." Sometimes I would walk into my own tiny backyard and check in with the moon, saying hello each night. I studied it. I studied the glow around it. I noticed the position. Over and over, I found this technique of looking at my surroundings and naming them chair, light, tree, stars, picnic table, the best way to get through each minute of the pain. Number two, believe people who tell you they are in pain. We cannot know one another's pain, but we can ask questions about that person's experience of the pain. So often people with invisible illnesses hear the phrase, "But you look so good." That is no solace for someone who feels awful. According to one study, more than 125 million Americans, 125 million Americans have at least one chronic condition. That means our room here is full of people with chronic conditions. That's defined as a condition that lasts a year or longer, limits activity, and may require ongoing care. And more than half of that 125 million have more than one chronic illness. And these illnesses share one major characteristic. They're not visible to the onlooker, thus the term invisible illness. Tip number three, if you choose to tell people what you are enduring, pick an audience with care. Pastoral care resources are available here at your church with people trained in listening. Number four, remember we don't have to understand something to help. We're Unitarians. We really like data and information. We want to understand it all. But we don't have to. We can just believe what the person's telling us. Because pain can often be very lonely. When it is us who is suffering, we cannot step out and advocate the same way we can when we are helping someone else. For many, pain becomes a double life. On days when I was required to make appearances in public at the height of my disease, and I had to be on camera or on television, often as the spokesperson for an LGBTQ rights organization or voting rights, I would douse my head in peppermint oil. This was before it was trendy. And I would swallow some pain meds. I would slip into a clean dress. I'd apply makeup. I would deliver my practice talking points so well, reporters were astonished at how effective and quickly the interviews went. Some days I would give multiple television interviews in a row, as many as every 20 minutes. But when the last crew left, I would apply fresh ice packs and collapse into my chair. We all have our own version of this. We all come up with coping mechanisms to carry on our lives the best we can while enduring a painful situation. And thus far, I've focused on the struggles of pain, but here are some positive possibilities to consider even though we're suffering. Know that each illness and pain can be a gift. It can be your teacher. When you feel pain that takes you to the brink, other issues can fall away from clouding your consciousness, and you can see more clearly. One congregant shared with me that it was so painful to lose friends during an illness, but on the other hand, they strengthened the best relationships with those they loved and helped them look past the illnesses into a better future, just like Moana looked into the fiery side of Te Kai. Your understanding of what you must do and who you can count on will become clearer than ever, and the experience can alter the path of your life in a positive way. One family I know whose toddler endured a long battle with cancer now used their experiences to help other families dealing with childhood cancer. And after their beloved son died at age 4, the mother never returned to her career in international business and instead entered a holistic health education program, using her knowledge to help other families. No one wishes the awful thing to happen, but sometimes there's something that you can pull up through the dirt and make good again. This notion of what happens after a traumatic event is called post-traumatic growth. It's a positive change that's experienced because of the struggle with a major life crisis or traumatic event. Now, even Sinead O'Connor last summer updated her fans in the heartbreaking video to let us know that she's gotten help, she fired a bad manager, hired a new one, and enlisted a lawyer to help her out of some of her other troubles. Dramatic change often happens through traumatic events. Like Moana, we are taught to fear pain and challenge. We stay away from the sick. We avoid people going through great loss. We ourselves often minimize the pain we are going through just to survive. Sadly, I was not able to have any more babies. My endometriosis is now mostly under control. After years of surgeries, treatments from dozens of medical staff, and taking chemotherapy, I'm at least 95% free of pain. And that illness did help me strip extraneous activity and even people who weren't helpful for my life. I developed a much deeper appreciation for what I did have. I was fortunate a couple people who believed in me infused me with love and kindness, just like the hemlock tree elves. When I wasn't sure how to get through, I repeatedly edited my life to contain only the most necessary people and activities that matched my values. And it even led me to following my calling to become a U minister. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 states, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let love or God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think." When it feels like our world is falling apart around us, we might as well embrace it. We might as well observe the pain, examine the situation, and learn all we can. Hopefully, that will give us the strength to face that pain, to walk through that fire, to infuse it with love, and transform the situation, and even us. As we move through our most painful experiences, our biggest fear, let us try to be like Moana and recognize the divine spark in all of us that allows all of us to transform into spiritual beings or gods or goddesses that we all are. May it be so.